news, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Super glad to see you on the radio. It is, 7:14 a.m. If it is any given Thursday when it's time for important information about vaccines and great activities in our community, are there important updates? We're probably on the line with Samantha Pearson. Good morning, Sam. Thanks for checking in today.
Good morning, Mark. Good to talk to you.
Samantha Pearson, Executive Director of Lewisburg Neighborhood. She's been helping us get through the pandemic, and when she looks at a graph, she sees what's really there. So we're going to ask you, we've got some vaccinations in the Valley, thousands of individuals already vaccinated. What are the numbers telling us? Is this vaccination having an impact around here yet?
Well, in terms of having an impact, we are definitely making a dent on our the people who need to get it most, which you might think of as the initial phase 1A. So that would be both healthcare workers and nursing home residents. But we haven't finished with the nursing home residents, so that's a really high priority. Even though we now have, you know, several million more people, not in our county, but across the state. We went from about 1 million to 4.5 million in that category when we added those the new folks to phase 1A, those who are over 65 and people under that who have particularly hazardous conditions for COVID-19.
Can I say that we are taking longer than we should be or longer than expected? I'm an impatient person, so I'm like, come on, let's get on to 1C where I'm at. Or is this just my typical nature? You know, I want what I want when I want it now.
Right. I mean, on the one hand, I'm glad you are anxious for the vaccine. That's good. You know, we want people to be ready for it. And on the other hand, you can say whatever you want. Whether it is justified is another matter. And I know, you know, papers and different things are saying, you know, Pennsylvania is doing a spectacularly awful job. But if you look at the tracking information on the CDC website, which I have shared on Lewisburg Neighborhoods, we are in the middle of the pack. We are a large state, which means because they distributed based more or less on per capita reasoning, we got a fairly large amount of vaccine. And then, as we know, you know, there are large states and, you know, there are dispersed states with fewer people. There's a lot of differences about states around the country, but in the same way, say that Pennsylvania has both a lot of population and a lot of area. We have an unusual number of roads, actually, and like linear number of roads and bridges. We also have some special features that make our vaccine process difficult. A lot of healthcare workers, huge numbers, and huge numbers of quite elderly residents. So I would say that you can feel anxious, but you should be patient. And you know, I do think we can do better, and I'm looking forward to having better systems roll out. But I think many states are having similar things. Like, some people have gone ahead and gotten their vaccines, like in both in our state and elsewhere, and other people are having a harder time. I do want to see, you know, just better websites and more access for people who don't have access to the web.
Well, as I think back, you know, on the topic of patients, I think back we were promised vaccines would be available to everybody in the spring and early summer. And somehow when they became available, I said, oh, actually, I want mine by the end of January. So I kind of changed my tack a little bit. When I saw that people were actually getting jabbed, then I thought, oh, I want to be among them. So I'm not at the end of the group, but we have to wait a little while. And I think Elm Street managers are literally at the end of the list.
Oh, I think my kids are after me, actually.
Okay.
So yeah, remember, even if you're feeling sort of lonely out there in 1C, there's people that could be after you. In fact, when we look at the number of people in 1A, it looks like it's about, you know, a third of the entire state's population. But it's actually a greater proportion of our state's vaccinatable population, because currently we don't have vaccines approved for under 16.
Yeah, I noticed that we went from having about 1 million people waiting for a vaccine. I think it's like 3.5 million now line for the vaccine. And we've accomplished maybe about a fifth of that or so, something in that region. Anything else about the vaccine rollout? I want to allow you to talk to us about what's really happening.
The one thing I would note is that January 19th, the last day of the previous administration, was when the huge slug of people was added across the country. That was a recommendation by the previous administration without supply to meet that. And the new administration is coming in, and there hadn't been a whole lot of guidance or sort of involvement in the rollout at the federal level, and now there is. But that takes time, too. I am hoping within a week or two we're going to have a lot more clarity. Both providers, should they have proposed knowing and being able to tell providers how many doses they will have on hand, 30 days, 60 days, and 90 days out, which means they can schedule you, right? And even if you have to wait, wouldn't it be lovely to be like, yes, I'm scheduled for April, 23rd, or yes, I'm scheduled, so those that I think will start to fall into place. But, people who are, I think people have been mad at the new administration since the first day, saying he hasn't done enough, and so you would just have to shrug your shoulders right now about that.
All right, so we're kind of on schedule. Do you see a time within 2 or 3 months where vaccines are readily available to nearly anybody who wants one?
I do think, the 100 days is a long time, right? So, but yeah, I would say by the end of 3 months, we're going to be in much better shape. I mean, this is also dependent on getting, just even ordering large quantities, which has finally happened. That hadn't happened before. 200 million more doses were just ordered yesterday. And so that gives us a chance to get to that point, though it depends on lots of other things falling into place, everything from, the packaging for the vaccine, the little glass vials, things like that. That's why Defense Production Act did kick in, and will be focusing on things that are needed for this, special syringes that help you get as many doses as possible out of the vials, at least for certain ones. So they'll be looking at those things. Is it reasonable, or will we know? I think there are a lot of things that could get in the way. For one thing, everyone's trying to jump the line here in the U.S., but globally, everyone in the world needs to get it, and that is a lot of people. So, and we need everyone to get it. We don't want outbreaks. We don't want more variants developing, which is what letting the virus run rampant really makes possible. There are lots of things that can get in the way, but I do think we're going to be a lot closer than we feel right now.
And vaccine hesitancy, is that something you wish to address or talk about? We still see some terribly smart people who say, I've studied this sufficiently and I'm not interested.
Yes, we do want to talk about that, but precisely because we have a mismatched supply and demand right now, it's not quite as big of a issue, because the people who aren't getting it are allowing people who do to get it at the moment. But once we do get to the point where we have enough, I believe it, just because of logistics of administering it, it won't be like the flu shot where you can just walk in and get it. You will probably continue, even with ample supply, having to make an appointment, and they will need to make sure they have time and space to allow people to distance and then to, be monitored for a few minutes afterwards. I think hesitancy is always, an issue with any vaccines in this country, and some of that is owing to disinformation, another one of my favorite topics. Some of it is, validly based, but maybe needs, people need to think through the logic a little bit more. But we do need to talk to people. We need to talk to them in ways that will make the case and help alleviate fears. And I think we will have time to do that, because it is going to be an effort stretching off across the year. In some countries, some countries like India, they're like, it's going to take us a minimum of 2 years. Just because we just have so many people the world over to get this to.
Should we be monitoring these variants that seem to have mutated and some are more contagious? Is that something of local interest?
Yeah. Well, when you say should we be monitoring them, we locally should know about them and pay attention. And so currently the ones that have been reported include UK variant, Brazil variant, a South African variant, and a California variant, possibly others I haven't noted yet. We should know about them, but obviously we aren't going to be testing for them. That said, the country should be testing for them. And right now, you know, there's a range again. And, you know, there are certainly other countries that are hardly testing at all that just don't have the capacity for it. But among developed nations, you know, places like Denmark are testing every single positive PCR they get, every single positive coronavirus sample they get. Places like the UK are massively testing now. And the U.S. has been testing 3% of our positives across the country with variability, because it really depends on who has capacity. And that if we want to have a better sense of where of just what might be happening, that would be good to ramp up. It doesn't have to be 100%, but there's definitely levels of surveillance, like just sort of keeping an eye on that, that would be well above 3%. And that would be useful, you know. And what that does, it's not a matter of I need to know about the variant for tomorrow. I mean, we do need to be thinking about it for tomorrow, but the UK variant first appeared in the UK, or first was tested and observed in the UK in September, and it became dominant in December. So we know that we're seeing UK variant around here starting in December. People are imagining that would play out in transmission and become the most significant strain, you know, somewhere end of February, beginning of March. But, you know, now there's the additional strains added onto that, so they're all battling it out.
All right, so we'll keep an eye on that. We will keep an eye on that,
right.
As my question was curious about. Okay, LewisburgNeighborhoods.org, if people want to get more information about some of this, some of the topics and graphs and trends are there as part of the community effort of Lewisburg Neighborhoods to keep people informed. So we've been kind of piggybacking on that with Samantha Pearson to make sure that we get the very latest objective information, real-time graphs, and other information. LewisburgNeighborhoods.org, Samantha Pearson, Executive Director of Lewisburg Neighborhoods. She'll be back in about 10 minutes, and we'll have more of our discussion. Samantha, stand by, please.
Thank you.
And we'll be talking to her more at 7:42 or so is about where we're headed there.
On the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Sutter doing a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous job. We always appreciate his help and hard work. We have on the news line Samantha Pearson, Executive Director, Lewisburg Neighborhoods, Elm Street Manager, Walk It, Bike It Coordinator. I can't wait for the opportunity to talk to her about biking and commuting via bicycle to work and enjoying rail trails and talking about the big mountain bike excursion that takes place in Union County and all of those good things. But lately we've been talking to her about the vaccines and coronavirus and mitigation. Lewisburg Neighborhoods has been a great go-to place for everybody in that community and others to make sure they get the very latest information. Well, you might have just been listening to the news. I talked about the State Troopers Association wasn't happy that smokers and individuals who might be obese budged in ahead of them when it comes to getting the vaccine. Can you explain how certain criteria allow these kinds of things to happen, Samantha?
Sure. On the one hand, it's we're still back in the not wanting our medical infrastructure to get overwhelmed, and so we really need to target people who are most likely to need serious care. And so this is literally triage, right? And trying to put people in order, having these four different phases named phase one and then A, B, C, you know, it's a little silly. They probably should have just named them 1, 2, 3, and 4, or A, B, C, and D.
Or people, people here, they could have called it the people most at risk to get it, the people most at risk to die, and then go from there.
Right, right. And but, you know, state troopers do have a point that they have a lot of exposure, though I will also say, at least in our area, I can't say, talk about state troopers, but not everyone is doing the things, you know, so that they should or could do personally in order to limit getting it. So I think that this highlights actually what are those things. You know, there are people complaining, well, people who smoke or who are obese, in some way those are choices, or if you aren't paying attention to the science about addiction, for example, there's a conviction that this is just about a personal failing and about choices and personal behavior. But one of the most important defenses against coronavirus is personal behavior, and is, you know, we're waiting for the vaccine, which is not personal behavior, but we could be wearing masks, distancing, washing hands, and avoiding indoor gatherings. You know, those things are a really good strategy that is available to people right now.
So those are some of the normal things. One of our listeners sends us a text and says, perhaps a Chubby's chain-smoking state trooper would be happy only under those circumstances for a chain that they had those issues. So, but anyway.
Well, that is a reasonable point, in that the new additions to Phase 1 have taken people from other categories, right? They were as a category already in 1B, but it also is that, you know, there are people who are teachers who are over 65. There are people, you know, who are being shifted around. There are people who are grocery store workers, you know, who are, you know, have some of the other, you know, serious conditions that can lead to issues. So it is a bit of a shell game. Everyone, ultimately, we want, you know, the vast majority of people, we really want. We're not quite sure what we need for herd immunity, but probably around, you know, 70 to 85% of people to get vaccinated, and so that's a long line of people when you have over 12 million people in the state.
Well, I think the governor has said it a couple of times, not facetiously but seriously, that he's obsessed with saving lives. And saving smokers, if they're at greater risk, or individuals with severe obesity, if they're at greater risk, bumps them up the list. And so that's probably why it's set up that way. Let's
right,
talk
and
about,
actually, oops, I have
please.
One more thing on this.
Sure.
That I also have a little bit of an obsession about this, as people might be able to tell. So looking at the shift in the who was eligible in 1A and then pushing 1B back, I have been talking to both United Way and the Community Action Agency in our region, and realizing that there are still people who, not through personal choices or behaviors, but through their jobs, you know, things that they don't have as much control over, must be exposed, whether it's people like troopers or teachers or grocery store workers, postal workers, people in manufacturing facilities. We have... The Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way has obtained supply of high quality, good filtration masks. So these are protective masks, more so than cloth masks, and is making those available to people in those categories who may not have them or not have been able to get any. It's not an infinite supply, and, you know, we're starting out just sort of two per person, but we're going to see how this goes. So if, for example, you had a state trooper who, in our area, you know, who was feeling exposed and if I don't know if the state troopers are already provided with these, some places are, but if you have a grocery store worker or someone like that who, you know, needs more protection or is realizing they need more protection now that the variant is or different variants are arriving, you know, we are trying to make that possible. So you can contact, you know, Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way and, you know, make arrangements to get some of those masks.
Why do we need better masks? You made that remark.
Yeah, well, you remember we've been talking about how your mask protects me and my mask protects you. That really works well when we actually have analysis of this, when about 80% of people are wearing masks. Surprise, not everyone is wearing masks. And we even have that statistics about that now. Even though 83% of people in the country polled agree that masks are one of the most important ways we can protect ourselves, less than 50% of them are wearing them during in conditions where they should be. In other words, these are adults around other people outside their household. And so that information says to us, you know, universal masking isn't working because it's not universal. It would work if it were universal. Since it's not working. Therefore, we need better masks for the people who are willing to wear it. You know, the people who have been mad about masking all along keep saying, well, then you wear a mask, not understanding that the cloth mask didn't solve that. But we are at a point where the, quote, you wear a mask means, okay, then I better get myself a good mask. So now we need people to look for high-filtration, well-fitted masks with multiple layers. And so that can be achieved in a number of different ways. We're still wanting to leave the N95s for medical professionals, but there are alternatives, whether it's KN95s, KF94s, FFP2s, which is the European version, the other ones are Asian. Those are available. You would want to check on the FDA's website for which ones have emergency use authorizations, like from which manufacturers, because there are the potential to get counterfeits that are just not useful, don't really do the job. But you can get those. To improve their fit, you can wear a cloth mask over top, which helps sort of press it against your face. There are other ways of making them work better. Even, actually, surgical masks can be really good if you modify them so that they're really tightly fitting, which, of course, a surgical mask in general is not.
Well, and I visit my elderly parents occasionally. I'm a N95 mask person plus, but it has a vent. So then I have to wear a cloth, or not a cloth, but a surgical mask over it. So that's my normal getup when I go see them. Okay, so let's talk about gatherings, masking, quarantine, and testing. We kind of wrap up. We got a couple minutes left. I'll give you an open mic to talk about some things you know are important.
Sure. So, you know, I mean, we've been talking about these things all along, but at the same time, sort of our usual list now has, like, some additional, you know, more detailed guidance, in part because we have more information about what people are and aren't doing. So in gathering, you know, people are like, well, there are times when I have to gather for work or something like that. I know people who have rearranged their offices, so even if they're in their offices, they are now doing meetings, you know, with other people in the office virtually, right? So they are keeping people within their own spaces, you know, trying to minimize those gatherings, really keeping the 15 minutes over the course of 24 hours in mind and just trying to reduce that if at all possible. The other thing to think about with gathering is, well, even unavoidable gatherings, whether it's for work or for school, definitely do the things you need to do. Wear high-filtration, well-fitted masks, like the ones we're talking about. You know, even if you can't get the things like KN95s, again, you could get surgical masks and put a cloth mask over it for tighter fit, or, you know, rubber bands over it. That's even been studied. I know, crazy world where we're studying wearing rubber bands over our cloth masks to over our surgical masks to make them fit better. But really, you know, those indoor gathering things, just don't take your mask off indoors with people out from other households. When people are like, well, we ate. Well, then don't eat. You know? Like, you know, or eat outside. Yes, it's cold. Go into your car and eat. Or, you know, like, just avoid taking the mask off when indoors with other people. If you must gather for some family or social thing, don't include food. Like, try to keep it brief. Keep everything outside. And then the last thing is the isolation question. And you really need to isolate if you've had a positive test, you're exposed, or symptomatic. And we've been saying that, but there's also still, like, what is isolation? People seem to think, oh, well, I'm isolated, but I did this and I did that. Isolation is not supposed to have breaks. Like, if you're isolated or in quarantine, the only time you're supposed to leave is for either COVID testing or medical care. Right? It's not like, oh, well, I just had to do this, or I just had to do that, or even I just had to get exercise. If you're in those categories, you're really supposed to stay put. You should get food and medicine delivered and stay inside. If you need help with this, you can get help. Both the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way and Union Snyder Community Action Agency are part of this basic needs task force in our region that are making sure if people need groceries delivered, they need medicines delivered, they need assistance you know, because of the extremity of being put in isolation, that we want to make people get that, be able to get that, what they need, get the support they need and make this possible. We need people to isolate, you know, and quarantine as indicated, so that we reduce the spread.
All right. We have to keep on being aggressive about this. Thank you so much, Santa. Thank you for your updates. As the vaccine roll out, I'm going to give you a buzz in 2 weeks. We're going to hope for an update. So we'll have new numbers then. We'll be into a new batch of vaccines distributed into Pennsylvania. So we'll get a full update then. Thank you.
Sounds great, Mark.
That is Samantha Pearson, Executive Director, Lewisburg Neighborhoods, lewisburgneighborhoods.org, the go-to place. She's got a lot of information there set up. They and the staff have hooked up a lot of great links to make sure everybody's informed.